Good morning, Talmidim. Like usual, when we come back from Ben Azmanim, we give a Shevach Vado to Kodesh Baruch Hu that Baruch Hashem, we all came back. We're all doing gesund. We all had a nice Yom Tov, hopefully, B'siyata D'Shmaya. Whenever you go out of the Dalat Koisle, Beis HaMedrash, whenever you walk out of the routine, the regular, the norm, a lot of things could be going on, a lot of transitions. The fact that we come back complete and we come back, Baruch Hashem, rejuvenated after having a beautiful Yom Tov, hopefully by everyone. We give a Shevach V'Doa to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's nice to see everybody back. And again, our bracha is that we should have a successful end. We're talking already about the end of the school year. It should be a successful Zman, a Slachadig Zman, a proper preparation for Lag BaOmer, a proper preparation for Shavuos, which is ultimately the whole Mitzrayim was in preparation for Kabbalah Sotera for Shavuos, that we should utilize the next few weeks till the end of the year. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to be strong, and the koiches, and the geschmack, the zest, the bren, to want to do well, to want to succeed, and feel good in all areas of life. Yom Tov was a bit bittersweet here in Chicago, and I think it's important to mention it. As much as Yom Tov was a beautiful Yom Tov, Chicago was hit with a terrible tragedy over Yom Tov. It was a chashuv in Gaman, who was one of our Choshev HaTamidim here in Yeshiva Tveres Tzvi. His name was Chaim Lipschitz, Zichet Tzadik Kodesh Lebracha. Passed away, I think it was Friday night, right before the night before the Seder, Friday night. We only found out Matzah Yom Tov the first days. But suddenly he passed away. It's a tremendous tragedy. I remember Chaim here in Yeshiva. He was a boy like every other boy. He was a very creative boy. He's a very smart boy. And he was creative. It wasn't only learning, wasn't only sitting and learning. He enjoyed a good geschmacka game. He enjoyed a good geschmacka. He enjoyed English as much as everybody. He enjoys it. And tried to avoid it as much as everybody. Yet, he was a tremendous Baal Derech Eretz. Always had a bikush. Always wanted. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to work well. A tremendous Baal Midas. He came from a house, a special, special house. Rabbi Lipschitz, the Mashgiach, and tells, and his wife, who's been a teacher by us in the girls' school for many, many years, special mechanchim, and you were able to tell that he was a special child. And as he grew older, he utilized his kaiches to grow and steig into a Talmud Chacham Muflik, a Yadin, someone that knew so many different sugyas and so many different yediyas and different mitzvahs and Torah HaKdoshah. And don't get me wrong, he was an excellent Talmud here as well. But he had that piece also where he was able to, wasn't just that goody-goody. He was a very good boy. But he worked on himself, and he steigt ois to be something special. Maybe a modern day of Aharon HaKohen, who was Oyev Shalom and Roy Shalom, similar to Mashgiach Rabbi Lipschitz, who was Oyev Shalom and Roy Shalom, losing Nadav and Avihu, right with the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, Shechina coming down here, right before Pesach, Rosh Hashivcha Layom, the Shechina came down. I don't know. I'm not here to make a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Cheshbonos, but it was a tremendous tragedy that Chicago suffered, tremendous loss, a loss for all of us. And our tefillah is that he should be a Melech Yosha. He went to Yeshiva Tveres Tzvi. He should be a Melech Yosha for all the Talmidim in Yeshiva Tveres Tzvi. That we should all lead happy lives, utilize the schusim that he brought down to this world through his limud atayr and through yegiyas atayr and through his benad machaveir, benad mumakam in all areas, that we should benefit out of what he planted and be a good debater in Shemayim, that we should be zoicha to the coming of Mashiach, b'kar of takim, we should never hear any more tsar and any more tsaras, and it should be a schus for his neshama. This week Shabbos, an interesting minig that many people have. It's not a halacha. I'm not even sure the origin of the minhag where it comes from, but there's a minhag called Shlissel Challah. Shlissel Challah. What's the minhag of Shlissel Challah? So there's a lot of different minhagim within the minhag of Shlissel Challah. One of the places that I saw was that the original minhag was that if you put sesame seeds on top of the challah, you put the sesame seeds in the side, in the shape of a key. The word shlissel means a key. So you put the sesame in the shape of a key. The reason for that is because Shabbos Mevarchim Achaydish, Rosh Chodesh Iyar is coming this coming week, Bez Hashem. And the month of Iyar is when the man started falling. The man was Kizera Gad Lavan, which was similar to the sesame seeds. So that we asked the Baruch Hu to open up the key of Shari Panasa through the now that month of Iyar, the man fell, that we should all be Zaychet to the man. And we should see that the panasa is like man coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that there should be a shefa of panasa. That's one minik. Another minik is not necessarily the sesame seeds in the shape of a key. Some people actually take their house key, they sterilize them, and put it into the dough and bake the challah with the key inside. And again, it's the shar to open up the different shar of the different shar of panasa. Usually it's for panasa. So you're putting the key into the challah. Some people don't put an actual key into the challah. They make the challah, the actual challah, in the shape of a key. So they roll up different balls over here, make it around over here, and long over there, that it should look like a challah. Some people just take a small piece of dough and make it in the shape of a key and put it on top of the challah. I think today there's already a shlusel challah competition. Different competitions where they get together, and who could outdo the other's shlusel challah. It became almost a sport. The shlusel challah competition. My mother's a Zintenstein exam. She just sent me a picture yesterday. What she does for herself, she puts their house key into the challah, but she bakes challahs for all the kids, all of her married children. She doesn't have our keys to get into the house, but most of us have a combination lock on the door. So she has our combination number. She writes down the name and the combination number, and puts that piece of paper into the challah. Because if it's a school for panasa, let me have in mind more people to have panasa. So all the kids, let's put them into the challah, the combination number, instead of the actual key. So there's different menhagim that comes from different places of why we put the shlisl into the shlisl challah. There's a story that's said over of where one of the makers of this story may have happened. I think from the first that we've seen it printed is from the Abder of the Oil of Yisrael. But I saw a story from the Heilige Maral from Prague. Many of you may have heard the story, but maybe not associated to the Shlisl Challah. The Heilige Maral of Prague was living at a time where the blood libels was going on, where the anti-Semitism, they were trying to wipe out the Yidden whenever they had an opportunity to torture Yidden, they would. And they would make the blood libels, especially during Pesach time. They would say that the Yidden use blood of the Christians to put into the matzah. It doesn't even make sense to us today, but some reason back then it was something that was very common, and they would use it as an excuse to torture the pagan Klal Yisrael. So the Heilige Maral of Prague was living during those times, and one night it was Pesach at night, and he would Uge Pravet HaSeda Zevisadav to sein, and he finished the Seder, and in his house he had on a nail. There were keys hanging on the nail, keys that he needed hanging on the nail in his house. And as he finished the Seder, one of the keys that was hanging on the wall dropped to the floor. So he stood up from his chair to pick up the key, and he saw that the key that fell down was the key to his Beis Medrash. The key to the Beis Medrash. Okay, I don't know why it fell down. Nothing was shaking over here. He picked up the key and put it back up, and sat back down to his Shir HaShirim, or to the Pshimshim, to the Pah, I don't know what, they was sat back down to say some Shiras Shabachas. As he sits back down, the key fell down for a second time. That's weird. So he goes and stands back up, picks up the key, hangs it back up, and puts it there, and goes back to his seat to sit down. As he sat down, for a third time, the key fell down. Okay. This is something going on here. So the Heilige Maral of Prague picked up the key. He said, if this key fell down three times, then there's a message from Shemayim, and I got to go check out what's going on in my Beis Medrash. So he took the key, and he walked to shul in the middle of the night, which was actually towards the morning already, early, early morning. And he walked into the Beis Medrash, and he realized that the Peroiches of the Aron Kodesh was a bit removed, a bit to the side. And he says, that's not normal, because we have in our shul, we make sure before anybody leaves that everything is tip-top, everything is properly closed. and he went and he opened up the Parochus, opened up the Aron Kodesh, and lo and behold, he found that there was a pitcher of blood that was put in the Aron Kodesh behind the Parochus. Wow. Okay. Something going on here. And he realized that they did a spetzel, whoever the guy was there to try to make another blood libel. So he went, he poured out, flushed down the bottle of blood, washed it out, rinsed out the pitcher very well, and took a big bottle of wine, filled up the pitcher filled with wine, and he replaced the pitcher and put it right back where he found it, put back the Kodesh and closed it up, and went back home to finish his shiris with his brachos. He comes back the next morning, they start davening, and you can imagine Tabren, everyone is davening, in the middle of davening, the doors burst open. The police department, the FBI at the time, the investigators, the detectives, and all came storming into the Beis Medrash, and they said, this was the place where this child was killed, this Christian child was killed by these people, and the proof is that they hid the blood in their holiest place. And they all run over to the Aron Kodesh, and they open up the Aron Kodesh, and the people were talking, they were like, what's going on here? And lo and behold, they find a pitcher of blood. And Hillel Brown Pratt says, what's going on here? He says, you hid blood? Blood? What are you talking about blood? We don't keep blood. We don't have blood. Wine we keep here, not blood. Keep it wine, buddy. Well, we make Kiddush Friday night. We have Havdalah Batya. We have wine here. We don't have blood. Opened it up. It's wine. It's not blood. Take a taste. This is wine. This is not blood. And they realized that this was a whole bilbul that was going to be made to kill, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael. And with that, they found out who was behind it, and they were the ones that got killed instead, and they were killed, and they were saved because of that story. So the Heilige Maharal Prague said that we want Yidden to remember the story about the key that kept on falling down, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the message with that key dropping three times right after the Seder, Leil Shemurim. So because of that, we put a key into the Challah today to remember the story, to remember the Nisim, to remember the key that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, sends us messages through that key for us to get saved, and not only then, for generations to come. So either way, whether the key, the reason why we have a Shlussel Challah, the key of the Challah, is because of the story of the Heilige Maharal Prague, or the story, or because of a Zeche Laman, or Skula for Panasa, there's one common denominator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us challenges. We're brought onto this world to be challenged. Yet everybody holds the key to be able to go through the challenges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody the key, the message, the koiches, the ability to be able to overcome and open new doors. You had a challenge, now we're going to figure out how to open a new door to become closer, to do more, to be better. Especially during the days of Sfira when we work on our Benot HaMakaberi. Everyone is supplied with a key. All that we have to do is we have to pick up the key, find the key, put it into the key holder, and open up new doors. Sometimes people don't realize that they have the key to help themselves. They think that they need, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, not realizing that I have the key. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a challenge, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave me the key to be able to open up a new door to overcome that challenge. Look at this week's parasha. Now spoke about the Rashi, with such a Musa Haskel tells today, Aaron HaKohen did everything that he was supposed to do. He did the Kabbalah. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. But yet, the Ashraz HaShechina wasn't there yet. So he went to Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kim Shiran, Shibakim, Shikarbu, Kala Kabbalah, Shivanasa, Kala Masim, did everything. Lo Yor, the Shechina, Li Yisrael, Hoim, and Star. V'oma Yedeni, Shekasu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, a lie. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset with me. I didn't do it right. Perhaps I didn't use the right key. Perhaps I'm not worthy of opening the proper doors to get to the next. The fault is in me. Aaron HaKohen is teaching us an unbelief. He's not looking to blame anyone else. Oh, it didn't work because of that. It didn't. It's not my fault. It's the other boy's fault. everybody else was. It's not me, it's the teacher. The teacher is weird. It's not me, it has nothing with me. Anakin didn't use that route. He used the route, it's all about me. If I wasn't successful, then perhaps I have to do something differently. Didn't look to blame anyone, so he went to Moshe Rabbeinu. What do we do now? If I wasn't set to do this avoida, why was I challenged to do this avoida? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, sure you will put up to it. There was one piece that was left to complete. And that's a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as soon as he went back in and said a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes if we don't find the key on our own, all that we're missing is the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please help me succeed. Help me open that door. Help me have a geshmak in davening. Help me have a geshmak in learning. You gave me the challenge. I'm sure I have the key also. Help me find that key. Sometimes there are people that don't have the ability on their own to find the key. You have to help of others. Help of the parents, help of adults, help of professionals. They may need the help, but etzem, the one that's helping them is not the one that's bringing the key. They're helping them find their key. They're helping them put the key into it. But who has the koyches in order to help themselves? The person himself, he has the key in order to get to the next level, wherever he has to get to. It's very easy to blame other people. Very easy to say, it's not my fault, it's someone else's fault. I didn't do it. I didn't mean to do it. It wasn't me. Yesterday I had a conversation with the Talmud. Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't mind. I'm not going to use his name. But he is sitting here. I had a conversation with the Talmud. Mature enough that I'm sure he'll deal with it. And he had a hard time during the afternoon hours. 2 days in a row. Came to me. My teacher just simply hates me. He hates me. It's hard. It's hard for me to say it to him. I'm sure it's not sinas chinam. If there's hate, it's not chinam. There must be a reason. What's going on? But it's hard for me to believe. All that I did wrong was I scratched my foot and he kicked me out of class. He said, something doesn't add up because most teachers, if I scratch my foot, the teacher doesn't even know I scratched my foot. If the teacher realizes he scratched your foot, what? Nothing, absolutely nothing. I just stopped to scratch my foot and he sent me out of class. So it sounds very innocent from a child's perspective, right? But any adult hearing that sees there's something fishy going on there. So ask, is it okay if we watch the cameras just to realize what happened over there? Yeah, no problem. So Baruch Hashem, it was helpful for him also like that. We spent the whole period watching cameras, so he didn't have to go back to class that period. And lo and behold, when it came to watching, for some reason the teacher had a few interactions with him and trying to get him to act like a student. And he was in a happy mood. And at one point, after, like, towards the end already, he was in one side of the room. He was supposed to be the other side of the room. The teacher told him, please go to your seat. So he went to his seat. But let me show you how he went to his seat. And at one second, he took a stop to scratch his foot, which the teacher did not see. Teacher, why aren't you in your seat yet? Oh, I scratched my foot. And at that point, teacher sent him out of class. So what happened over here? The teacher was definitely frustrated after a few times trying to get him to, but he was playing games with the teacher. It was the boundaries crossing. Sometimes you tease your friend, you play a game with your friend, you tap here to the side, you tap back, there's a game going on. For a Talmud to play a game with a Rebbe or a teacher is about, besides it's completely disrespectful, it's a boundaries crossing. You don't play games with an adult. Children should be playing games with children, and adults play with adults. But a child shouldn't be playing a game with a child, with a teacher. As soon as you stop playing that game, number one, it's a boundaries crossing. Number two, you make a mockery out of the class. And number three, you come innocent afterwards. I did nothing wrong. My teacher hates me. I simply had to scratch my foot when no one was able to. My foot, you had to scratch your foot. Navas. It's much easier to come to say, I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, later I'm sure the boy will come back to me and he'll argue the whole case. And it's okay, we'll make some more time. Let's do it during English time today. So, It would have been much more simpler, but he wouldn't have avoided being in class that day, if he would have come and said, Rabbi Tenenbaum, I made a mistake. A lie. It's me. It's me. I made the mistake. I didn't do what's appropriate. I'm sorry. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to be better. The only one that has the key is you. I remember when I was a kid in yeshiva, there was one boy in the class, he had the best excuses. And I think I may have mentioned it once. He had the best, he would come up with these creative excuses. And even the adults, wow, Takesh, mamash. And one Rebbe told his Talmud, you know, Tzadik, you're going to grow up to be an Amoritz with an excuse. But at the end of the day, you're going to be an Amoritz. You're never going to learn. You're always going to have an excuse why you're an Amoritz. This is just the fault. That's the fault. He was the one that bothered him. It wasn't my fault at all. Rabbi Yisai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us challenges. Yes, it could be the teacher the challenge. It could be your friend is the challenge. It could be the mother the challenge. It could be the father the challenge. A new teacher that is showing whatever videos is a challenge. Everything could be is true. Everything could be is true. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies you the keys. You have the Shlis L'Chala. You have the key to success. It's in your hands. It's either you're going to have an excuse why it's too hard to reach the keys, why I can't get the keys, I don't want to do the keys, I'm not in the mood of the keys, I would rather not. So you'll have excuses, it's true. But the question is, who's going to rise to the top and be the Aharon HaKohen and say, perhaps it's me. It's not everybody else to blame. May we have the koiches to utilize all of our keys and find our keys and steig and overcome every challenge. And we should only hear Besuris Tavis. We should never hear any Tzar. And we should be able to see the success, our Hatzlacha, and everything that we do. Have a lechtige Shabbos.